Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Australian producer Cyril has rapidly risen to global prominence with his breakout track Stumbling In and a remix of Sound of Silence, amassing over 1 billion Spotify streams. He topped Spotify's Australia Global Impact list and earned a second placement with his remix of Teddy Swims' The Door. Within just 18 months, Cyril scored two number one singles on the Australian National Airplay chart, most recently with Fall at Your Feet, and number three with Still Into You. His success has earned him two ARIA Award nominations and multi-platinum gold and diamond certifications across Australia, New Zealand, Poland, Germany, France, and more. In 2024, he became the only Australian artist to top the half-year airplay chart, outpacing global heavyweights Ariana Grande, The Weeknd, and Billie Eilish. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Cyril.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm in Sydney and I'm feeling good. How are you?
I'm all good. Thank you. All good. Thank you for your time. Why did you choose the stage name Cyril? Obviously, that's your first name, but what was the inspiration to decide, okay, just my first name is going to be my stage name?
Yeah, I think it's just I wanted to just use my name. I think, like, I just wanted to be me. So I was like, I'll just use my name.
And at what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you feel, okay, I want to be in this music world? And how did that journey progress?
When I was about 12, I was about 2 years old, so I played guitar, but then I was 12 and I wanted to be like an artist and stuff and be a DJ. And then a little bit later, I tried to be a music teacher and then failed at that in uni. And then I just thought, stuff it, I'll just try to be an artist again. And then I started working out.
Do you still play guitar?
Yeah, I play guitar, drums, bass guitar, and piano.
How do you create a song? What is your inspiration?
It really depends. Like, if it's a remix, I'll find like a melody in the original song, and I'll be like, I really like that, and then take that idea and make it into something new. Or if it's an original, I'll sit there and jam on a guitar or pick a chord progression, and I'll just go from there, and then we'll start singing and writing, and then... Yeah, it's really hard to pinpoint where it is. It's different every time, I think.
When you choose to remix a song, what is the inspiration behind that? Is it just a love for a track, or what draws you to that specific track?
I think it's definitely the love. Like, I'll find a sound or a melody or an earworm in a song, and I'll ride with that. And it really just comes from the love of music, I think.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
The crowd. I love the crowd. Love a few tequila shots. I just love being on stage and feeling the energy. And yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So for me, I'm that dude that's right up in front. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two videos, one or two photos, and then I put it away. I notice these days a lot of people are filming, tweeting, posting for a lot of time of the show. You referenced that energy. Do you find that people on their cell phones take away from that energy, or it's just where society is at the moment?
I think, like, it really depends on the show. I don't really have the whole cell phone moment. It's like when I play a hit of mine, the phones come out. But for about 90% or maybe 80% of the time, people are just there vibing and stuff. Yeah, I think... There are DJs out there and artists out there that have the problem of phones coming out all the time. But I just don't think I'm that famous. I don't think I'm famous enough for everyone to want to film the whole set, which I love. And I usually have a fun set because we don't really have the phone problem.
So now, obviously, being a DJ, it's also about understanding and feeling the energy of the audience in the room. Has that come naturally to you, or is that something that you've developed over time?
Definitely developed. I've been DJing for a very long time, and I was a resident DJ at different clubs, and I think the vibe of the room comes from that. Like, I can sense it now but it definitely isn't something that you just pick up straight away. You have to learn it and know what song to play and what genre is going to work, and when to change it up, when to keep it.
Obviously, performing at a smaller club compared to a bigger venue where it's more of a festival type aspect, What are the differences for you between performing at a club compared to at a sort of a festival?
I think the intimacy, in a smaller club, it's more intimate, and you can play weird stuff sometimes and you'll get away with it. And I think it's more of a vibe sometimes. Clubs are more like, festivals are more like your performance, I think. Like, you do a lot of planning and make sure the visuals look good, and what am I going to do on stage to make it look like a show? You know, there's a lot more planning and a lot more production that goes into it, like flames and CO2 and fireworks and all that sort of stuff.
And your preparation for your set, how long does it take? Or you have something in your wagon and then you just feel the energy of the room and then you track from there?
I think I plan a little bit, and then I just feel the energy most of all. But I definitely have playlists where if things aren't working out, I can resort to something that will work. But most of the time I just play it by ear, I think.
What's coming up over the next period of time? I know it's secretive in your world, but can you tell us any updates of what's happening in the next period?
Just a lot of touring for now, and we're trying to work out, I suppose, what the next releases look like. We have a big track out at the moment called There She Goes, and another one called Tears Dry Tonight. So I'm very happy with them. For now, we're just concentrating on Tomorrowland, Perucaville, and a whole lot of festivals in Europe.
Tell us about the tracks you just mentioned, There She Goes, the inspiration behind it.
There was no inspiration, to be honest. It was a fun night on the beers in LA with a friend, and we just had fun making it. There was no inspiration at all. It was literally just heard the track, thought the guitars were cool, and the lyrics were really simple. So we made an idea. We didn't even finish it. Then 6 months later, it blew up on TikTok to number one globally, and we had to get it out. Tears Dry Tonight, that was a bit more of a thoughtful process with James Blunt. Making that one was a lot more fun, and it was a lot more creative, I think.
When that track, There She Goes, blew up on TikTok, were you guys surprised that it blew up, and or was it just like, oh, we built it, now let's just take it to the next level?
It was very surprising. We had no idea that that would happen. I don't think anyone knew that was going to happen. It was the most random thing in my whole career.
I love me a CD. For me, I still budget my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys to say thank you for all the hard work you do in your creation process. I'm unsure if you are aware, massive upsurge of physical around the world. A couple of years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Also last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And based on these exchanges, they analyze it for some form of tax purposes. Naturally, there needs to be a high uptake of exchanges every day. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now back in the basket. And the research is showing that it's the teenagers, the younger kids that are diving into these worlds. And then we also have the streaming platforms. What are your perceptions of the landscape at the moment?
I think streaming is huge. I think vinyl and CDs are very vintage right now. Even tapes are a vintage thing to get. I have a collection of vinyl, a lot of CDs and stuff. I think they're a collector's item now, I think. The retro sort of vintage vibe is very in right now.
I love this game. I know if I had to answer this question in a couple of minutes, 10 years, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. If you had to push play to five other artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you can think of specific songs from those artists, what songs would you play?
Johnny Cash, Jackson, Elvis Presley. I'd say just Elvis Presley. I can't remember the song. Can't Help Falling In Love With You. Purple Rain by Prince. Far out. Somebody Else by the 1975. And shoot, I don't know. Alan Jackson, Drive.
When you released Stumbling In, were you surprised that it had such a success in the sense that it was such a track from the 70s? And obviously, music is evergreen, it's nostalgic, it's always brilliant. But obviously the newer generations do not really necessarily know the song. So what was the inspiration to release that one as your first single?
I think like it was a happy accident. I didn't actually know it was going to blow up. I just made the idea again. I just made like the 30 seconds of it. And then I left it for about a month and then I put it up. And a few nights later, close to when my son was born, it just went very viral. So it was like, I didn't realize what would happen. I never thought that would happen, to be honest with you. But yeah, it did. So I'm very happy about it.
It's cool. I've interviewed both Chris and Susie for the podcast, so it's a nice little full circle moment now having a chat with you. Cyril, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the audience, what would you like to say?
Thanks for listening, and I appreciate everyone's support.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.